Hi again, everyone. It's been too long. I think our last Blackhawks Crazy podcast, Scott King, was right after the start of training camp. So we have been tardy in getting back to people on our Blackhawks Crazy podcast. I'll explain why momentarily here. Chris Bowden, your pre- and post-game host on WGN Radio, along with Scott King, who has some exciting news to share with us. For now, we'll just give him his regular title of the Chelsea blogger on WGNRadio.com. But we are coming to you following Thursday night's 2-1 Blackhawks home loss to the Ottawa Senators. And the reason we haven't gotten to you on a Blackhawks Crazy podcast, Scott, is I'm such a wimp. I'm off for 5 months during the summer. Too long a summer, even though it is summer. So I come back to work finally, and I work 8 or 9 consecutive days. And, of course, I come down with a cold. So, as a result, we have had to push back a couple of Blackhawks Crazy podcast dates. But I think now you know what you're really dealing with here. Just a true sicko in the truest sense of the word.
A true sicko. No, first of all, I don't think you're weak. I think you take very good care of yourself. You run the toboggan sled steps and all those things.
I don't run them, I walk them.
That's a million times more than I do. No, I was talking to Jimmy Greenfield during a game, and him and I both actually felt like we were coming down with something Tuesday. Like,
you're welcome.
There's something going around here. I don't know if it's just Bowden or what, right. But might have been the weather.
I'm starting it. So bear with me. Actually, the voice today is a little bit better than it was a couple of days ago for the Detroit game.
What's your kryptonite, these colds, when you have to broadcast?
Yeah, something about that. And, of course, probably the next one I'll get is when I have to do the high school hockey championship or something like that. But Blackhawks falling to 1-4 on the preseason. We'll get to Joe Quenneville's reaction after Thursday night's game in a bit, because I think just listening to him in that press conference, you can hear by the tone how disappointed he was. And doing the post game with Troy Murray, it was kind of like this felt like the dog days of the preseason almost. And even though there are roles to fill, spots to gain, slots in the lineup to be established, I know Joel probably thinks he wish he had clear answers at this point. And based on what he saw, it was the total opposite of what we saw Tuesday night against Detroit. 14 goals in that one, and then 3 in this one. And it was almost like Ottawa was pulling off the old Nashville Predators neutral zone trap to try and suffocate the Blackhawks. But there really wasn't a whole lot of buzz in the building, unfortunately, and I think Joel was disappointed in that too afterwards.
It was the exact opposite. You had better goaltending. Forsberg stopped 21 of 23 Senators shots, so the goaltending was better. I thought he looked okay. You didn't see a ton of shots because the defense was better. Mm-hmm. You can tell by the score, and also from the score, forwards not really lighting the lamp like they did the last game. So, yeah, I think Quenneville might have some answers. I don't know if they're the answers he wants, though. I think he's been impressed by a lot of these depth guys, a lot of these bottom six guys. He's kind of figuring out who goes where. I think he knows his top six. We were talking about Brandon Saad before the show, and he, I guess you could say, drew a little bit of cue criticism, his one-word criticisms from tonight's performance at least. But I thought he was kind of having and you've been around more than me, Chris, I thought he was having a good camp, and then he kind of got put on this like third line. We'll see how he does here. And then kind of just tonight he didn't have a good night. So is he really falling out of grace that much in being considered a guy where he can go back into the top six later?
Yeah, and maybe we'll get into that a little bit more here, because the Blackhawks need him. The Blackhawks need him, just like they need Duncan Keith, just like they need Brent Seabrook and Jonathan Toews and any number of guys who may have slipped a little bit last year. To combine with growth from some of the younger players. And yeah, there's still a lineup puzzle going on that I'm sure Joel wishes would have been solved by now. It's almost like you want a longer preseason with where the Blackhawks are right now as compared to past years when you almost knew you could draw up a lineup right away. And now I think he just wishes guys would just step up and grab a hold of roles and situations rather than from what he's seen so far.
Well, Jokiharu was on the ice for both goals against, along with Keith. And now I think it was the first goal that Jokiharu got beat to a puck by Bobby Ryan, who put it to Duchesne right in the slot, who beat Forsberg. Forsberg didn't have a chance. So, yeah, there's going to be – there's obviously going to be growing pains with a 19-year-old rookie, no matter how good he's looked and how good of a prospect he is in Yokoharu. But it's much better at those – things happen now than later in the season. So you hope the growing pains during the regular season aren't as bad as they are now, and there is going to be some. So let's get the bad ones out of the way now, I guess.
Yeah, but they're going to come during the regular season. We'll get to a little bit of that on what's going on the blue line, because it appears as though, barring a move, the seven are set for the regular season. But first, let's let you hear from Joe Quenneville from Thursday night's 2-1 loss to Ottawa. And, yeah, you can tell he wished there was a little bit more buzz from his team to create a little bit more excitement in the building. Here's Joel afterwards.
And some of the individuals, John Hayden kind of getting a bump up there at the end, just another good night for him in what's been a good camp?
Well, being positive, I mean, he had, I don't think too many guys were in the real positive efforts or good nights tonight. I just wanted to put him on the right side, see him over there, and then see Dylan on the left and see how that worked.
Do you think Sakura could benefit from some time in Rockford, the adjustment?
We'll see. I know that's something we'll talk about. We don't have many moves left, but that's we'll see. We got one extra forward right now in the discussion.
Are you fixated on the wins and losses of preseason, or are you just kind of looking for
playing the right way? I was looking for better than tonight. That was a decent first period. When I say decent, not great, but at least we didn't give up much. And then second period was tough, and the third period was tougher. So it was one of those nights where you're looking for somebody to, you know, get the team excited and get some pace to the game, get some possession, get some scoring chances, get some traffic. Win some loose puck races or battles, not enough.
How did you think Henry handled playing on the top pairing and quarterbacking the power play too?
Yeah, he was all right. I mean, it was okay, and I think our, you know, we didn't give up many chances, but I think our puck possession or puck, whether I say passing or movement or pace to our game, was nowhere near the level you need.
What have you thought
of
Saad in that line last couple of years?
Ordinary.
What about on the goal, the first goal? Is that just Henry needing to learn to need to get the puck out of there and not worry about it?
I think when we get into that and that basically sort outs at the end of a rush, you know, we got to be stronger in the puck area and complementing there with everybody down low with three guys, and they got two guys, and we got nobody in front of the net. It's too high a quality play when we arrive for first on a puck.
Any positives in today's game?
I think net, we should all think that, hey, we have to be better net.
Let's start with the defense. You started mentioning Joki Haru's game, and you know, the puzzle that Joel has to try to put together for Saturday night, hopefully something that he can carry into the regular season opener next Thursday against Ottawa, is who to put where, because the seven are set, barring another roster move or trade here before the regular season opens. It's going to be Keith, Steve, I'm not going by pairings necessarily, but Keith, Seabrook, Ruda, Gustafson, Joki Haru, Manning, and then they signed Brandon Davidson, who probably has been the steadiest of the defensemen throughout the course of training camp after he came out on a player tryout contract. But you mentioned Joki Haru before we heard from Joel. Yes, at 19, those mistakes are going to continue into the regular season for a certain amount of time. We don't know how long. No defenseman is going to be perfect, but when he cuts those down remains to be seen. But I think also, and we talked about it all summer, the real improvement from within this team defensively based on the moves that were made are going to have to come from within, with Keith and Seabrook taking a jump from last year, of Ruda and Gustafson growing into a more defensively responsible role. We know Ruda and Gustafson in particular are capable of providing a little bit more of offense, but as we, you know, weave into the goalie talk, until Corey Crawford comes back, and even when he does, so much of this team is going to rest on improving in front of the Blue Peyton, whoever's in that. And with the seven here right now going up against, you know, a very dynamic, loaded Western Conference, it's going to be real important for these guys to gel quickly, communicate, and, you know, be much more structurally sound than we saw a year ago.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Duncan Keith, because he's the guy that the defense and the goaltending are going to lean on the most. And even if he did have an awesome offseason, which you can always usually count on Keith to do that, especially when a season where he underperformed and he was hard on himself and he was honest about it, let's say he's back to feeling close to best case scenario, the old Duncan Keith. Mm-hmm. Now he might have to kind of spend some energy and some thoughts on guiding a 19-year-old player. Does that, I mean, you've seen a lot of sports. Does that weigh a guy down a little bit in a season where he has to bounce back and the team's really depending on him?
I don't know if that's necessary. Yeah, that could energize him, too. I mean, he's talked about this next wave of defensemen that has been coming in over the course of the last couple of years, being smaller, being faster, more like him. He's almost like a trendsetter right now. But I think that could also energize him. I mean, it all depends on how well they communicate, how well they click together, if Joel decides to go that way. And I would happen to think that if I had to roll the dice when they're back here on Saturday night, he'll probably still keep those two together. I may be wrong. He seems to prefer to keep Gustafson and Ruta together.
I do like it. I do think he'll learn a lot from him, and I think Yokoharu gets some of those mistakes out of the way early, and he just kind of plays a smart, comfortable game and let Keith do some of the heavy lifting. I think they'll be fine, and I think it'll especially be good for Yokoharu.
Yeah, and speaking of which, they did decide after, you know, kind of pumping the tires of the number 8 overall pick, Adam Boqvist, thinking that he was going to be with the team for the remaining three games of the preseason. It turns out it was just Tuesday before they sent him back to London of the Ontario League. So no 9-game tryout to start things out. You know, possibility at the end of the season when in London's season ends that he could come up.
So they could not call him up before. I was going to ask you that. They couldn't call him up before that.
Yeah, to my understanding, yeah. That's or if they do, they'd have to keep him up. But I think the right move is sending him down. And we saw a couple of instances in that Detroit game where the best thing for him is to get his feet on the ground in North America. We saw the upside of what he's capable of doing, but we also saw the downside of what his, you know, physical frame is like and going up against some big boys. He can keep up with the fast ones, but you combine some speed and size, it's something he's going to have to adapt to. And saying that, I think the clock has sped up, though, where we very well might see him start with this team a year from now at age 19, instead of perhaps having to wait till he's 20.
I think it's safe to expect that now. You look at Joel Quenneville, who likes to keep things close to the vest, saying basically it wasn't outside the realm of possibility that he would make the roster this year. They were giving him a nice long look, and he said they were surprised, too. The coaching staff did not expect him to be here this long. They didn't expect him to have developed or looked the way he did this soon in camp.
So we mentioned Brandon Saad a little bit earlier, and as I said, the Blackhawks need this guy to get back to his form of when he was previously here, his first couple of years in Columbus, or the 2 years, I should say, that he spent in Columbus, which, you know, added up to his usual production. I think he had his career high in goals there, a 30-goal season 3 years ago. But where he fits into this mix right here is going to be real interesting because I think it's important with the struggles Nick Schmaltz has in the faceoff circle. Granted, Artem Anisimov, at a career 46%, isn't light years ahead of Nick Schmaltz, but it's better. And if he's going to play Artem Anisimov with Nick Schmaltz and Patrick Kane, 88 needs the puck. He can't spend a whole shift chasing the puck. And if there's better odds of Anisimov winning a faceoff or them splitting them depending on their strong sides and Anisimov's net front presence, there was a comfort level between him and Kane and Panarin for a couple of years there. You know, that leads you into the Saad conversation in terms of where you place him. And right now with Dominic Cahoon, it was a quieter game on Thursday night than he had, you know, the previous, you know, two or three preseason games. If he's going to be on that top line with Jonathan Toews and Alex DeBrincat, Brandon Saad, that puts him in a third line role with not a whole lot of dynamic offensive firepower, and you wonder whether he's going to find his offensive game that's going to be so important for this team for this season.
I think it's going to be harder for him to find the offense in a bottom six role. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm speaking honestly, he's just not going to have the puck as much. Can he help create chances, but winning some battles and going in that? Sure, yeah, he can. But he's not going to get those same numbers if he was on a first or second line. He's just not. So does that mean that once any of those guys on the top two lines get cold, any of the wingers, that he steps right back in? He's the next guy up? I'd like to think so. So we'll see.
Yeah, and let's face it, with Joel Quenneville, it's a fluid situation. it's going to change. And what he has said, I guess the concern going into the season is offensive firepower in that bottom six, because in the NHL today, you need depth scoring with the way this league is. And even though as pleased as Joel has been with Luke Johnson, rightly so, with the camp that David Kampf has had, and a couple of the projected fourth line guys, from Kruger to Hayden to Martinson.
Sorry to stop you there. I thought Hayden was the big story tonight. When you look at who was rewarded, and as Joel said, it wasn't a lot of guys. He kind of put on Hayden as being the lone guy with a positive game. Positive impact on the game tonight. That's why he got bumped up to the second line and switched with Sakura, and even took Sakura's minutes on power play late in the third period. So seeing a guy like that play really hard, because he knows there's one more cut left for a forward, and he wants to be here.
Yeah, and there's perhaps some repetition in some of the guys that they have in the bottom six. We don't know what the ceiling is for offensively for a Luke Johnson, and whether he can complement a Brandon Saad, what Chris Kunitz can bring to that as well. A four-time Stanley Cup winner, but you also mentioned Dylan Sakura, and some of these guys at the Blackhawks have sent down, are eventually going to come back up. Victor Hadjedal didn't probably have the camp he wanted to after the run he had in Rockford during the playoffs a year ago. I'm a Matthew Highmore fan. You know what he is. He's going to give it for you every night. He goes back down to Rockford, and it's going to be up to Jeremy Colliton to keep those guys' chins up, as well as Carl Dahlstrom, Alexander Fortane. But now with Dylan Sakura, a lot of excitement after he was signed out of Northeastern, but it just doesn't seem like he's had a camp that jumps out. And I don't think there's any denying that the ceiling can be pretty high from him from a playmaking standpoint. But for the here and now, others have earned those spots and will provide more current versatility than what Sakura can provide. You can move some of these other guys, the Johnsons and the Camps, around. They may not have the offensive firepower, but all signs seem to indicate that Dylan Sakura is going to have to, swallow hard and get some seasoning down in Rockford and try and round out his game. I don't think there's any question, if he does get sent down in this final forward cut, that he's going to be a guy eventually that is brought up. But I was kind of disappointed not to see a little bit more from him, because I was even projecting him to be a top six guy. The question is, with his game right now, whether he can be anything but a top six guy. And he slipped out of that during this game on Thursday night.
Yeah, that's the word I was going to use, disappointment. I mean, you looked at the potential he had last year. I also thought he'd be in a top six role. That was likely at least some point in the season. Great playmaking ability, like you said. He could really help score a lot. And look, he was a great guest along with his brother on our podcast.
That's right.
So, no, great kid. I think he has a lot of talent, a lot of upside offensively. And I also think that when and if he gets sent down, he'll be one of the first guys back. Now, there's one more game left. How long will Q hold off that last cut? Does he get a game to redeem himself? I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and from Q's standpoint, he's going to be trying to get all his ducks in a row on Saturday against Columbus to try and hit the ground running in the regular season opener.
Is when you look at Sakura, what he does, what he brings to the table, and the fact that these grinder types, these bottom six guys, have played really well and have had a really good camp, and Q's trying to fit them all in, does he look at that and say, yeah, he switched Hayden and Sakura tonight, but they're different players? Mm-hmm. You are talking about a potential second line guy and a fourth line guy. Does he take that into consideration, that yeah, Sakura's had a quiet camp, but he can score a lot versus this guy is just going to be a real blue-collar hockey player.
Yeah, and the thing with Sakura is he had a real good tournament at Traverse City before training camp opened, but we just didn't quite see the flash from him. He had two games under his belt before Thursday nights against Ottawa, and they're just he just wasn't very noticeable. And I think what Joel's thinking is that, you know, he wants as many guys as he can trust to start this season. It's going to be so important to get off at least to a decent start this season. You can't fall into a huge hole after, you know, facing Ottawa. We've mentioned it before. It's St. Louis on the road. It's coming here against Toronto. It's then going back on the road against Minnesota. And all of a sudden, these games are important in October, and you don't want to fall behind the eight ball too much as they did last year. So if I had to venture a guess, Sakura might be the guy sent down, but you know, I don't think it's Siberia for him by any means. And a lot of it's going to have to do with his attitude down there. Luckily, he has a big brother, you know, to kind of lean on as far as that's concerned. Let's head to the goaltender situation real quick before we sign off here. Corey Crawford taking incremental steps at the morning skate on Thursday. He had a couple of his teammates future teammates in Brendan Davidson and Gustav Forsling take some shots at him, moving from side to side. Someone shooting at him other than goaltender coach Jimmy Waite. All signs from what the Blackhawks have been saying in a much more transparent manner is that he is taking steps every day. He's continuing to work out. He's not having any side effects, but they're being extra cautious in bringing him along. The hope was that, you know, he may be able to join his teammates in practice this week, or I should say next week in the regular season. So, you know, chalk off the start of the regular season. They're going to take this slowly. I think the next step in his comeback is high shots, which we haven't seen in those 30-minute sessions before practice and individual work with Jimmy Waite. And then the traffic. And that's something they're going to have to gradually work in. In the meantime, the net's going to belong to Cam Ward, Anton Forsberg, and we talk about the importance of Saturday night. I, unlike a lot of people, wasn't going to bury Cam Ward for what he had the other night against Detroit. I know there were a couple of tough situations there. Yes, great goaltenders need to overcome that. You know, there was a deflection off Boquist's stick on that second goal. Just a lot of chaos in front on that first goal. That's not excusing, you know, a goaltender for what the good one should be able to do. But it also ramps up pressure a little bit if Cam Ward is the guy, and he seems to be designated the guy based on the contract that he signed over the offseason. That makes Saturday night a little bit more important for the guy after you know, what happened, and he took full responsibility, you know, was pretty big in front of his locker the other night for what happened, even though he didn't necessarily have to. That's what a new good teammate does.
Yeah, I mean, he's a veteran who's been around, knows how to act with the media, knows to take responsibility for a bad game when he's had one. I think he was at Carolina for 13 seasons, I think. Won a Stanley Cup his rookie year in 06. So, yeah, I think that he's definitely going to try to rebound. And he, like Quinville said, he's just going to throw that game in a basket. I think it's only fair that everybody else does the same. And, look, if he goes out there again and has the same result, yeah, I think there's something to worry about.
Yeah, we'll start the alarms. Twitter was just going nuts the other night.
It is a preseason. You don't want to see a veteran goalie have a game like that, but it is a preseason.
And that's the framework this entire discussion has to fall under. You know, you never want to. The Blackhawks aren't the Blackhawks that could flip a switch as they did years ago. So as we wrap up here, let's get into your big news here. Tell the audience about your personal news if they didn't catch it on Twitter the other day.
Well, hopefully they all caught it because they're all following us. I'm very happy to say that I'm going to be the Blackhawks correspondent for NHL.com this season. And I'm happy to be around the game more and everybody that works here, like yourself, Chris, and we'll be able to crank out some podcasts. And I'm very appreciative. Some of our colleagues were kind enough to put in a word in for me, and it's the type of thing I've been working towards these last few seasons, so I'm very happy to get started.
That means FC Moria.
Yeah, you do.
Okay.
I'll take it. So congratulations on that. Very, very well deserved. How's the food been so far in the second intermissions? Is Is there preseason fare and regular season fare if you were to evaluate? And with all due respect, because all of us appreciate the spread that the Blackhawks put out without having to put out any money for it during second interview.
I like how I've become the food critic on this show of the United Center. I'll tell you right now, the first two home games of the preseason, the food is on par, right on par with the regular season. Delicious beef sandwiches today with amazing jardiniere. They even had hot dogs last game with some nice little sandwiches, the kind you get at a nice dinner party.
Okay.
I'm happy.
Bon appetit.
I was too.
And finally, let's wrap this thing up with the internet sensation that is sweeping NHL nation. It is the new mascot for the Philadelphia Flyers, Gritty, ladies and gentlemen. Very frightening at first look. Still frightening to me. We're less than a week in. And you put the test, though, to someone that you think Gritty should appeal to, but maybe a tad too young. I don't know. You tell.
I don't know. That was a good litmus test. My daughter just turned 3, and she has a good radar for things that are supposed to be cute or fun or funny. So I said, Lucy, is this? She likes mascots. She always points them out and enjoys them. I go, Lucy, is this mascot? Is this fun or scary? And without missing a beat, she goes, oh, scary.
Very scary. Yeah, it looks like Animal from the Muppet Show. The drummer, that was the drummer on the Muppet Show.
A
little bit of that. Yeah. And I don't...
And
doing that in Philly, that's going to sit really well. I can imagine what the reaction was.
The video of Gritty dancing at the preseason game. I think it was like yesterday.
Wiped out, right? Is that what happened?
He wiped out on the ice. And then I think last night there's a video of him like dancing behind a fan, like rubbing up on a fan. I was like, oh god, Gritty's going to get the boots.
But then you think, okay, well, Philadelphia embraced the Philly fanatic. So you don't know how a gritty town like Philadelphia will respond to something.
Well, look, I don't want to, you know, sound too biased, but this is exactly what the fans of the Flyers get for punching that Blackhawks fan in the face and breaking his nose in front of his kid during the 2010 Cup. This is their penance for that, is Gritty.
And throwing snowballs at Santa Claus at Eagles games, too. So
I mean, where does it end?
Yeah.
You know?
Philly tough.
Google Bill Burr, the comedian, is you ever see that? YouTube video, they're heckling him in Philly. He just goes off on Philly. I think it's at least 20 minutes of crowd work, saying what a horrible city Philadelphia is. And it is, even if he turned the Philadelphia crowd, they start laughing and clapping. It's so funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Great video.
Bleeps included?
No. You got to do it yourself. You got to put fingers in the ears.
Very good. All right. Congratulations on the gig once again.
Appreciate it.
We'll be coming back at you sometime next week. Health permitting, I'm confident I can get this thing in my rearview mirror and have a fully healthy rest of the NHL season. Knock on our plastic table here. That's going to do a whole lot of good. But the wood one is over there. So follow along on the Blackhawks Crazy Facebook page at facebook.com/Blackhawks Crazy for everything Hawks, including Scott's Chelsea Blogger blog. And follow me and Scott on Twitter. I'm at Bowden Tweets. Scott's at Scott King Media. And get used to logging on to NHL.com as well. Look for those Scott King bylines. And make sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes and leave a review. We'd like to thank Joe Romano once again for piecing this all together on his own time, and to all of you for tuning in, and we'll let you know when another one's coming our way, either maybe right before the regular season or maybe after a game or two are under the belt. It'll be sooner than last time.
Wednesday, listen to us on Patty's show.
That's right. We have a Blackhawks preview show on WGN 720, 7 and 9 p.m. on Wednesday night. Hope to have a couple of guests. And
Andrea's with her now, right? Andrea Darlis?
Patty Vasquez and Andrea Darlis. And we'll talk some pucks. We'll do that hockey.
Very fun show. I did it a couple months ago. It was a very, very fun show.
All right. You'll be my buffer. And, get me loosened up for that. And, check it out. It's a Blackhawks preview show. Hope to hear a little bit from Stan Bowman. I'm supposed to have a sit-down with him early in the week. Maybe we'll play some of that for you. And hope to have a couple of guests and some other fun along the way on the eve of the regular season opener on Thursday at Ottawa. That's a wrap for Scott King. I'm Chris Bowden. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you soon.